On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is when we take developments one at a time, go deeper into the legislation that is up for debate. And so here is the sequence. We'll look at the governor's proposed gun legislation in the special session. We read the climate inside the Capitol. Is this what it feels like to be at loggerheads? And first, though, the lame duck lawsuit before the state Supreme Court. How do you want the justices to rule on the latest lame duck suit? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Molly Beck is a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So the state Supreme Court heard arguments last week in this last remaining state-based challenge to the lame duck session. Mm-hmm. Who was the suit brought by, and what is the main point of contention here?
So the suit was brought by five unions, and they are arguing that the legislature can't require the attorney general to get approval from the legislature's finance committee to settle court cases. So back, right after Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, who are both Democrats, when they were elected Republican lawmakers before they were sworn in, the new Democratic officials were sworn in, the legislature passed laws very quickly to shift some powers from those offices to the Republican-controlled legislature. And one power was from the Attorney General's office, which allows him, or previously allowed the Attorney General to handle any, lawsuits that the state was involved in and determine what settlements they would agree to. And now that is in, that's the power of the legislature's finance committee. And that's what this lawsuit is arguing is not, should not be that way. Basically.
Yeah. And a big chunk of the discussions last week revolved around the legislature's new power to approve legal settlements before the attorney general can carry them out. So how did you see conservative and liberal justices responding to that?
Well, it was pretty interesting. I think some observers expected the more conservative leaning justices to be siding with the Republican legislature, but we saw some critical questions from the conservative justices. The Chief Justice Pat Rogenczak, she said, you can't take everything away from the Attorney General. Other justices argued or asked, the Republican legislature's attorney, where does that, if you shift the power away from the Attorney General, where in the Constitution allows the legislature to absorb that power? Where does that power go? So there was quite a bit of scrutiny over that act itself by both, the liberal leaning justices and the conservative leaning justices.
The lawyer representing the lawmakers argued that limiting the attorney general's powers doesn't violate the state constitution. How did she make that case?
So that the attorney said that such a requirement, the legislature can set that requirement because the state constitution leaves it to lawmakers to determine what powers the attorney general has. So one justice agreed that the legislature could tell, say, well, the attorney general is just going to twiddle his thumbs all day long. He's not going to have any actual practical powers. But he also questioned whether the legislature could take on those responsibilities, like I said before, rather than just giving them to the executive branch. He also, the attorney from the Republican lawmakers, argued that the attorney general is kind of a hybrid office in between. He's not strictly part of the executive branch, but rather has powers that were functions of the executive and legislative branches, which makes him part of a fourth branch of government, which all the justices disagreed with, saying, we've never heard about a fourth branch of government in Wisconsin.
So what are the next steps for this lawsuit?
So the justices will, they'll take this under, they'll consider this, and I'm sure in the coming weeks or maybe next year, a final ruling will be coming down on this in this case. And in the meantime, the legislature and the attorney general have not found a way to settle any lawsuits under these new laws. And I think there's about a dozen lawsuits that are just kind of out there languishing because they can't agree on how to do this.
We're doing a politics roundup with Molly Beck. She's preparing us for the week that will be. She's a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in. What questions do you have about what's happening in the state capitol? What bills do you support? What bills do you have questions about? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Molly, it feels like lawmakers aren't really working together or finding common ground. How many bills could we actually expect to see passed into law with a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature?
Yeah, there's really not much going on in the Capitol if you compare this legislative session to, you know, previous ones when the governor was a Republican and the legislature was controlled by Republicans. Obviously, things were, you know, they would pass. I remember I would sit through legislative sessions and they would pass dozens and dozens of bills. And now they, I mean, I think they've been in on the floor once or twice since the governor, the new Democratic governor was elected. So I don't think we're going to be seeing anywhere close to the number of new laws that we saw in the past better part of a decade. The Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, he said last week that he sees the legislature's role right now as being a goalie rather than, you know, finding new bills that they could actually get to the governor's desk. They are passing, you know, I think the governor has signed maybe a dozen bills, and he's got more too that he has on his desk that's are waiting his signature. So it's not like nothing's going on, but if you compare it to the last 8 years, it's much less right now.
And Governor Evers has called for a special session for lawmakers to tackle gun violence next week. We spoke with Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke on Tuesday of last week about the governor calling a special session around this.
Instead of focusing on the issues that divide us, I think we should focus on the issues where we can come together and really present some solutions that will have a greater impact.
So Steinke doesn't think that there's enough support to pass these bills on the background checks and the red flag law. Mm-hmm. What is your take there? What do you sense happening at the special session?
So I don't think anything will happen. I think, you know, they have to, by law, the Republican legislators who control the both chambers, they have to, by law, come in and they can just gavel in and gavel out immediately, and they don't even have to have everybody there. So, and that's, they've said that that's what they're going to do. So the governor, he can call a special session, which means he says, you know, legislature, you have to come in, you have to consider this issue, or you have to consider these bills I want. But the legislature, there's nothing in state law that requires them to actually do anything with that. So they just come in and they say, okay, we're here and we're leaving. We're not doing anything with this. And that's what they said they will do. And I imagine that's exactly what they'll do. They've been pretty consistent for months. You know, we've asked them many times about whether they would consider any changes to the state's rules about who can possess a gun or have a firearm. And they've said there's just no, you know, there's no appetite for that right now.
We're moving through developments at the state capitol, taking them one at a time with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel state government and politics reporter Molly Beck is at our side. What do you think is the solution to the funding shortfall to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison? What questions do you have about what's happening at the capitol? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're moving through the biggest developments at the Capitol, including a Democratic bill on paid family medical leave. Under the proposal, employees could be eligible for up to 12 weeks of paid time off. How do you want lawmakers to address family leave? Is this a pressing issue in the workforce, or should there be other priorities? On the topic of finding missing Wisconsin soldiers, would you support putting more funding toward this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Molly Beck is our guide. She's politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she stays with us. Molly, let's take a look at Lincoln Hills here. The plan to close Lincoln Hills Youth Prison north of Wausau is seeing some funding shortfall issues. What is the status of the money needed to make these regional facilities possible?
Yeah, so when lawmakers voted to close the youth prison, which is north of Wausau, they didn't have any funding specifically tied to that bill. And so lawmakers have been approving funding for that plan, which would close the youth prison and open a number of facilities across the state, which some would be run by the state and some would be run by counties. And right now, if you look at what the Evers administration and the Department of Corrections said is needed to carry out this plan and what lawmakers have actually approved, it's about $127 million short of what needs to be in place to close the prison by the 2021 deadline. I wrote a story about that recently, and I tried to talk to the lawmakers about what their plan is right now to make that happen and find new funding for that plan. But none of them really wanted to talk about it. And one lawmaker who did talk to me about it, his name is Mark Bourne. He's from Beaver Dam and he's on the finance committee. He said that it's really in Governor Evers' court right now, the ball that would be closing this. And but talking to the governor's office, they said lawmakers need to figure out how they're going to fund this before we can move forward with anything.
So the deadline to replace Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake is 2021. How realistic did you sense from them, from lawmakers? How realistic is this timeline?
I mean, no one has said this is nobody who, you know, is in the legislature or Governor Evers himself. I talked to him about this too. Like both want it to be closed by the deadline set in state law. But if you talk to, you know, people who are not lawmakers, but, you know, are experts in this field, they've said that that deadline has always been too ambitious, and it was never a realistic deadline, but rather something that was put in the bill that would create some sort of urgency that needed to be there, frankly, for lawmakers to act on it quickly. So I could see the deadline being pushed back a bit. But again, no one has said that they want to do that. So maybe it's possible that they will find the money soon.
So proposals from Brown County, Dane, Milwaukee, and Racine counties, they don't have enough beds to accommodate the youth prison population. So why are these plans falling short?
Right. I think there's a number of factors there. I think there is, the counties have said all along, they've said, we need this to be a realistic plan for us. We need the funding to be there. And the plans that they put forward, they know the Department of Corrections knows that it's not even enough beds to transfer all the teen offenders in the youth prison out. So even under the plan that's in place, you know, it wouldn't even allow the facility to close, and that's the whole point of the plan. So I think money is at play there. I think for on the state facility side, which there are a couple facilities are proposing for more serious offenders, the location of those facilities, the people who live around those proposed facilities are very unhappy with the idea of a youth prison being built in their area. And some lawmakers have even gotten behind the people who have said they don't want it there. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things at play that could push this out.
We're talking with Molly Beck. She's a state government and politics reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And she's giving us a roundup of news from the Capitol and legislation she's following. Molly, Democratic lawmakers have reintroduced a bill called the Family Medical Leave Act. Can you tell us about this proposal that's coming around again?
Yeah, so this bill would create a kind of a state program that would allow workers to have paid family medical leave, even if their employer doesn't offer it. The premiums would be deducted from employees' paychecks, and there would be no cost to their employers. Participating employees would pay the premiums to support the program, and they would be eligible for the leave, including to care for newborn babies.
So the program would come at no cost to employers, but what about job protection? Does the act ensure that these employees have a job when they are ready to go back to work?
Yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, the details. I think that would be something that would, if this was actually passed, that would, all of those details would have to be hammered out, maybe through the rules process. I'm guessing that the bill authors would want to stipulate that they would have to, you know, if you're mm-hmm. if you're on paid medical leave. I mean, it's paid medical leave. It's not leaving your job. So, I'm not sure, you know, whether the legislature will take this up. I don't see any movement on it right now.
Yeah. So have you heard anything from Republicans on this proposal? This is the third time it's come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it. And okay. I think concerns before have been around the administrative costs to the state. I haven't seen an estimate on that, but that those could be pretty hefty. Businesses might have some concerns with it, too.
There's a proposal that would help fund efforts to recover Wisconsin soldiers declared missing in action. What does this bill do?
So this bill allows a program at UW-Madison called Missing in Action Recovery and Identification. It's a project that finds the remains of World War II veterans. And it allows the legislature's finance committee to provide the project with $180,000 each year. And the project, I think, has been in place for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And they're just focusing on World War II veterans.
And the researchers have been working with the Defense Department to find and identify mm-hmm. missing soldiers since 2013. What would this additional funding support? What would it do?
I think it would just support the project, and okay. it might, you know, expand the number of, you know, soldiers missing in action that they could try to identify. I know that the bill has support from the Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, which is, you know, that's a big clue that it will make it through the legislature.
Last week, we heard the announcement of UW System President Ray Cross announcing his plans to retire. What do we know there in terms of the handoff of the system?
So he told me that he was planning to stay until the Board of Regents finds a replacement. I looked at the UW policy on, you know, how they handle, you know, replacing the UW system president. And there's not really a lot of guidance there. So it seems like the UW Board of Regents could really, you know, make the process whatever they want it to be. I think in the past they've done a national search and they've said they'll do that again. You know, I'm sure that will take months and might not have a replacement until next school year.
All right. We have to mention the fact that you recently talked to Cher, the Cher, and she contacted you to talk about a very local issue. Can you tell us about that conversation?
Right. Yeah. it was pretty surreal. I was following the case of the Madison School District security guard who was fired after he had said the N-word in telling a student not to use it. And somehow Cher found this story on Twitter, and she had tweeted that she was planning to offer her, you know, she would pay for any lawsuit he wanted to file. And so I had written a story about that. And I'm not sure how she found that out, but her publicist emailed me and said, hey, sure, I'd like to talk to you for the story. And I at first was like, is this a joke? Is somebody breaking me? but she did end up calling me actually twice. We talked two times.
Wow.
And she was very, very concerned and actually very, she knew a lot about the situation, which surprised me because she's on tour in Europe and famous, but she's very concerned about the situation here in Madison.
Yeah. So you found that your source database is growing by the day.
Yeah, it is. I don't know her cell phone number, but I know who her publicist is. So that's exciting.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Molly Beck is a state government and politics reporter, talks to Cher sometimes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, we talk with a Democratic lawmaker about a bill that would make trespassing around oil and gas pipelines a felony. Do you think people have a right to trespass or damage property to make a point? Should energy providers have greater protections from unlawful protesters? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update. There's more State Cap to come here on the Ideas Network.